Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our scripture lesson is our text is the scripture lesson which was just read. Today, in our church year calendar, we commemorate Cyprian of Carthage as a pastor and martyr of the Christian church. At first, Cyprian was a pagan teacher of rhetoric, and he enjoyed a rather wealthy and prosperous lifestyle. Around the year 245 or 246 AD, he converted to the Christian faith. And after diligently studying the scriptures as well as the writings of Tertullian, Cyprian was then elected bishop of the city of Carthage within a few years after his conversion. Several months later, however, persecution broke out against the church under the Roman Emperor Decius. And at first, Cyprian fled from Carthage, and he communicated with his congregation by means of writing letters. However, 2 years later, he returned back to Carthage, and he resumed his role as bishop. And then he was forced to deal with the problem of those Christians who lapsed from their faith during the persecution and now wanted to return back to the church. It was decided that these lapsed Christians could be restored, but only after observing a period of penance, where they would demonstrate their faithfulness. During the next period of persecution under the Roman Emperor Valerian, Cyprian at first went into hiding, but then he gave himself up to the authorities, and he was eventually beheaded for the Christian faith in the year 258. Therefore, on this day, we remember Cyprian as a pastor and confessor of the Christian faith, especially in times of persecution and trouble. Cyprian, of course, was a strong advocate for the unity of the church. He rightly defended the practice of infant baptism. However, he vehemently rejected baptisms that were administered by heretics, and he required those converted from heresy to be baptized again before being admitted to the church. He emphasized the necessity of remaining in the unity of the church in order to have salvation. According to Cyprian, the role of the bishop represented and actually held together the unity of the church. All of the apostles, as well as all rightfully ordained bishops, were represented in the one man Peter, upon whom Christ built the church. Therefore, according to Cyprian, outside the unity of the church found within the oneness of its bishops, there is no salvation. Cyprian, no doubt, was a man of deep conviction, and he possessed a sincere faith. And ultimately, he gave up his life for the sake of Christ, rather than deny the Lord and spare himself from execution. And for this, we praise and give thanks to God for keeping and preserving him in the Christian faith, even as he endured persecution and ultimately death. Now, in the current age that we live in, an age of doctrinal indifference, an age of drastic departure from traditional Christian values, not simply by the world, but especially in the visible church today, we may find the teachings of Cyprian to be a welcome refuge. Taking a strong stand against heresy and false doctrine is a noble and necessary thing to do. However, we must not be misled by Cyprian, nor be influenced by those who later on in church history misused his teachings. We must never lose sight of the fact that the church is founded ultimately on Jesus Christ himself, rather than on one man or even upon the collective office of the clergy. As our text from Romans chapter 3 reminds us, all people in this world are sinners, whether they are Jews or Greeks or even church fathers or even Lutheran pastors. There is no one righteous, not even one. No human can claim to be without sin, and the whole world is held accountable to God because of sin. No one can look to the law to prove their righteousness because through the law we are convicted of our sin. Even the Apostle Paul himself, later on in Romans chapter 7, he confesses his sinfulness. He acknowledges the struggles in his own life in regards to his sinful nature. Therefore, it's impossible to find a congregation to have a church body that's without sinners. It's impossible to be a pastor completely without sin. It's impossible for any human except Christ our Lord to be sinless, even when doing something good and pleasing in the sight of God. For example, as a pastor performs a baptism, this he does as an act, a servant of Christ, not because he's holy and righteous in himself. The validity of baptism rests on the words and the command of Christ, not upon the personal holiness or piety of the pastor. If baptism was based on the personal righteousness or even the personal faithfulness of the pastor, then no baptism would be valid, for there is no one righteous, not even one. The unity of the church begins with Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection for our salvation. Christ is the one who gives us his forgiveness and his righteousness and washes away sin in baptism. We are the ones who are united to Christ through baptism and not united to the pastor who himself is a fellow sinner. By means of the water and the word, we're baptized into the death of Christ. Just as he was raised from the dead, we too may have new life because of him. The pastor simply administers the water and speaks the word, but it's Christ himself who removes the sin and who bestows the gift of the Holy Spirit through holy baptism. Of course, Cyprian rightly warns us that schisms and heresies are to be avoided by all faithful Christians, and that pastors are called by Christ to faithfully administer the word and sacraments and not to deviate from the one true Christian faith. True baptism is rightly administered in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit according to the command of Christ. And true baptism always confesses the faith of the triune God and does not deny the Holy Trinity in any way. For there is only one Lord and one faith and one baptism. And these things are what create and preserve the unity of the church as they're taught, as they're confessed, as they're received by faith. Therefore, pastors, as called and ordained servants of Christ, they promote this unity in the church by confessing the one Lord Jesus Christ, by teaching the one true Christian faith, by administering baptism in the name of the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the church calls men to do these things for Christ, for Christ is the one who desires that workers be sent out into the harvest fields. But ultimately, it is Jesus Christ who works through his servants of the word for the good of his church, for apart from Christ, we can do nothing. May God grant us to have and to be faithful pastors and faithful servants of the church who confess and teach this true unity that begins with the person and work of Christ, that's confessed through the preaching of his word, and that flows out from our Lord Jesus Christ in the blessings of baptism, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.